Hello, this is Scooter, and thanks for joining me at Fish Toes. So today we're going to talk a little bit about bait. We're up to episode 6 now, and we've talked a little bit about bait, live bait, and fake baits, basically. I wanted to elaborate on this a little bit more because I feel as when you're beginning fishing, this is something that you're going to do a little more often until you start getting more comfortable with casting, retrieving, catching fish and stuff. When that stuff sort of becomes second nature, it's a lot easier to move on where to lures where, you know, you're focusing on different things, the basic information just sort of starts to become natural to you. So you don't have to pay as much attention to how you're casting, or, you know, you just know you want to cast there and you can cast there. And then you're focused on what you're doing with the lure and so forth. So it's a lot easier to start bait fishing, get comfortable with it, you know, handling fish and releasing fish and so forth. It just works a lot easier with bait fish because you don't have to be constantly, moving and doing things. You can just sort of stay focused on the actual act of fishing. So in the bait fishing, we've talked primarily about worms, and we've used two different types of setups, which are the bobber fishing and the split shot or bottom fishing using some sinkers. So we're going to elaborate on that a little bit as well, and maybe add another type of rig or two to your repertoire so you can try some different techniques when you're bait fishing. So we're going to start with the worms. So we've primarily talked about night crawlers. Night crawlers are really, especially in this part of the country, Maryland, Pennsylvania area, they're readily available almost everywhere. Heck, you can go out in your backyard and collect them if you want to. Just do it after it rains, or if it hasn't been raining, go out and soak a little part of your yard down with the hose just before dark, and then go out after dark when they'll come out. They don't like the sunlight. They'll come out. A lot of times they'll be laying on your driveway or, you know, on walkways and stuff. And if they're not, you can see them in the grass. But use a flashlight that's really dull and don't shine the light directly on them. Kind of look right at the very edge of your light and you'll see them there. And then you want to be quiet as you sneak up to them, because sounds and vibrations and stuff they'll pick up on, and then they'll duck back down into holes. But if you just kind of move up to them real slow, give them a pinch, and then you can pull them out of the ground. Pull real slow. Keep a firm grip on them, but pull them real slow. They're going to keep constricting and trying to pull back down into the ground, but if you pull slow, every time they constrict, a little bit more will come out, a little bit more and so forth. Pull them out, throw them in a little container with a little bit of dirt, and you've got bait that you didn't have to pay for, so that's always a plus. So night crawlers are about a quarter of an inch to 3/8 of an inch in diameter, probably not quite 3/8 of an inch in diameter, but I've seen them pretty big, typically right around a quarter inch in diameter, and it's 5 or 6 inches long. You'll find them a little shorter, a little longer, doesn't matter. What's great about night crawlers is they're pretty universal. You can fish them as a whole worm on like a big number two hook, because you're going to need a lot of hook to get all that worm on there. And again, when you're doing something like that, you're going after bigger fish, bass, catfish, stuff like that. You know, you can cast it out again. You can bobber fish it or bottom fish it. Bottom fishing is great for catfish, especially at night. Or, you know, on a rainy day, they tend to move around some too. So if it's a rainy day and it's not horrible that you don't want to be out there, you know, real cloudy and stuff and raining, water's starting to get a little muddy, catfish start moving around. So that can be good. And bass will typically eat them. Now, if you're fishing somewhere where there's like panfish and stuff, they're going to pick at it too, but because the hook is so big, they're not going to be able to get it in their mouths. So they're going to just kind of nibble at it and end up stealing your bait all day long, and you get frustrated. So if you are fishing somewhere with panfish, use a smaller hook, size 6, 8, 10 size hook. And again, remember that the bigger the number, the smaller the hook. So once you've done that, the night crawler won't fit on this anymore. So you can easily pinch a piece of night crawler off. Just kind of grab them real firm between your fingers and pinch real hard, and they'll basically just kind of pull or fall apart in between your fingers. But when you pinch them, rather than cutting them or trying to just pull them apart, they kind of seal off on that end a little bit, so you don't have worm guts all over the place and stuff. Nobody likes that. So then you can take that little piece of worm and put it on the hook. And what's nice about this, if you bought a dozen night crawlers and each night crawler you can split into 4 or 5 pieces, you've got, you know, 4 or 5 dozen pieces of bait to use for panfish. And I do focus a lot on panfish because when you're new to fishing, these guys are the ones that are readily available. They're almost in every type of water. They're usually close to shore. They're all over the place, so they're an easy one to really go after. Again, with them, you want smaller bait, smaller hook, so that they can pull it into their mouth and you can hook them and catch the fish. So when you put the hook, or when you put the worm on the hook, if it's a big hook and a big worm, you're going to want to loop it through several times. So you take, you know, maybe go down a half inch or so from the end of the worm, pull the hook straight through it, and then loop the worm around the hook maybe once, and then pull it through on the point of the hook again, and then loop it around again. And you can do that several times. And then on the back of the hook, again, we're talking about bait holder hooks for bait. They're going to have little barbs on the back of the shank of the hook. So just below where the eye of the hook is, there's little barbs back there. So when you slide the worm or whatever type of bait you're using up there, those barbs are going to help keep the worm up on the hook farther. And then the barb that's clear at the point of the hook will help keep them from coming off at that end as well. So it lets you sort of load up the hook. Now, if you are fishing a whole worm, I recommend that you leave, you know, a third of the worm or so just sort of hanging off the end or off one side. This makes, when you reel in and stuff, it makes just a nice piece that can move around. If you're bobber fishing, it sort of will hang down, the worm will wiggle and move around, just gives you a little bit more motion and stuff, which can help attract fish. When you're using just a small piece, you can do it two different ways. You can kind of do the same thing. You know, if you've got a little bit longer piece, just loop it around a couple times, or you can actually kind of slide the hook in from the end of the worm and just kind of feed it right up through the middle of the worm and then bring it out on one side or so forth. However you want to do it, the main thing is that you're keeping the worm on the hook as best as you can, because when you go to cast it, it's a lot of force on that hook and that worm, and if it's not hooked well, it can fall off. When it gets in the water and it's floating around, and the worm can either work its way off or a fish can swim by and grab a little piece that's not on your hook and it pulls the whole worm off, you're not catching fish that way. And so again, you just want to make sure it's on there as good as you can get it on there. So pay close attention to that. Now, there's other types of worms. I'm going to hit just on three of them, but the next one's going to be a red worm. A red worm looks basically like a nightcrawler, except it's smaller. It might be about an eighth of an inch in diameter, even a little smaller, and they're only going to be 2 or 3 inches long. And so when you put them on the hook, you can't really put them on a big hook. I'm saying the biggest hook you're probably talking is maybe a size 6, and you're probably better off with like an 8 or a 10. And what's nice about these ones, if you're fishing for trout or even for panfish, if you're somewhere where the panfish are a little bit bigger than normal, you can put a whole worm on a small hook. And when the worm is whole rather than broken up, it's going to move around more. It's going to have a more natural motion to it and so forth. When you put a little piece of worm on there, you're basically fishing with something that's not really moving much. But again, the panfish and stuff, they really like anything like that, so they'll go after it whether it's moving or not. But if you're going to use something, if you're going for trout, you could use a whole red worm on the hook. It's going to move around more, and it's going to help to entice those fish to come in and take a bite. So I don't really ever buy red worms for pan fishing per se, because they're a little too big for that. But also, if you're going to break them apart and use pieces, you know, you're going to pay the same amount for a dozen red worms as you are a dozen night crawlers, and I might only be able to break a red worm into two pieces and fish for that. So why not, you know, just make use something that's a little more economical and use the night crawlers. I primarily only use red worms for trout and walleye, and I don't do a lot of walleye fishing, but they don't like as big of a bait. Well, I shouldn't say they don't like as big of a bait. They don't have as big of a mouth to go after a whole worm. They can. Their mouths are pretty good size, but again, I've just done a little bit better with red worms over the years, though. Again, I primarily lure fish, so you can take that for what it's worth. But then the next two worm types are going to be mealworms and waxworms. And the reason I'm covering these is because they're pretty readily available. Most convenience stores you could go into and buy a dozen night crawlers. A lot of them have red worms, mealworms, waxworms, and basically those are the main four that you'll typically get. Now, you get into a bait shop, you may see some different types of stuff or some weird ones. You may see worms that are dyed colors, you know, night crawlers that are red or green or glow in the dark even, I've seen. And I've never fished those much, so if you have and you've had good results from it, let me know. Kind of interested to see if they work really well. But back to the mealworms and waxworms. they're really little guys. Waxworms are maybe a half an inch long. They're super, super soft and delicate, so they're going to fall apart easy. So you want to be really careful when you're handling them and putting them on the hook. Mealworms are definitely more hardy. They've got like a shell on their back and little legs underneath. And again, though, they're small. They're 3/4 of an inch to 1 inch. And, you know, when you hook either type of these, you're going to want to go down through the worm. And I'm going to tell you that, so for a waxworm or a mealworm, you want to go through the back of the shell. So right in the middle of the back, you want to take the hook down through, loop it around, pull it back up through from the underside, and that's it. It's just going to sort of be straight on there. And, you know, with the hook going through it. Now, why do you go through the back first? Well, mealworms want to curl up. And when you handle them and so forth, they're going to curl up into kind of a defensive position. And when they curl downward. And if they curl downward and you've hooked them the other direction, when they go to curl, they can actually pull themselves off the hook. When they curl and you hook them through the back first and then through the belly, when they curl, they're actually going to curl themselves tighter onto the hook. Not typically a real big deal, but just one of those little tips that kind of helps out. Waxworms don't really move much and stuff. You can just hook them however you want, but you're going to do the same thing. Just go through them once, loop the hook around, pull it back up through from the other side, and again, they're kind of straight on the hook there. You can't really feed a hook down through them because they're so delicate and small, they're sort of going to fall apart. Now, these guys, you can fish for panfish with them, and they're a great size for that. I primarily use them for trout. Like if I'm fishing in trout streams where there's not a lot of other fish, I'm going to fish for trout. And one thing that's really nice about the mealworms and waxworms is they're kept in sawdust. So they're clean. You're not getting your fingers all dirty and all this stuff. So, you know, that's a nice feature to them. However, you're going to, again, pay about the same price for a dozen of those as you are for a dozen night crawlers. So if you're going after panfish and stuff, now, again, if you don't want to mess with worms, like, you know, that are dirtier and breaking them apart, you can fish with the mealworms and waxworms, but you're going to get a dozen, you know, pieces of bait as opposed to that, you know, 4 or 5 dozen pieces of bait with night crawlers. So just keep it in mind. But again, fish with what you like. I can't say that I've ever caught bass or bigger fish on like mealworms or waxworms because they're so small. I'm sure you can. Come to think of it, I think I have actually caught some small smallmouth bass fishing in rivers when I was going for trout. But they weren't, you know, there wasn't anything of impressive size, but still smallmouth bass are a blast to catch. They fight even harder than largemouth bass. So they are a lot of fun. But in any event, so those are like the 4 basic types of worms. And again, you're going to find helgramites and other types of live critters. If you want, you can even go out in your yard and catch grasshoppers or crickets and fish with those. And they can be pretty productive. And again, you can fish them bobber, you can fish them on a sinker underneath, whatever you like. The other type of live bait I'm going to just briefly touch on are minnows. Minnows are, if you're not super comfortable yet with fishing, just kind of avoid them altogether for now. But minnows you're going to need to go to a bait shop to get. They're not going to have them in convenience stores. You know, there's vending machines they have that you can buy worms out of, usually around popular fishing spots and stuff. You're not going to find minnows like that because they're alive. They've got to be kept in a tank that's aerated. So you're looking at a bait shop. You're going to need a container to put them in, and they make special containers that are designed to keep minnows so that you can, they'll usually have like 2 lids on them that sort of or click inside each other, and one of them lets you open it up, reach your hand in, or dump a fish out. They make some funky ones that let you sort of kind of trap fish in a tube, and then they slide out one end. They're handy, but in any event, the main thing is they'll have another lid that sort of comes off, and then there's a screen or mesh or something perforated underneath it so that you could dump some water out and then get a little bit more water out of the stream or lake you're fishing in to kind of freshen the water up in there, keep it, the water, keep air in the water. If not, they're going to die pretty quickly because they need a lot of oxygen to survive, you know, even though they're underwater. So keep that in mind, but you can pick those kind of containers up pretty cheap. They're going to have them at the bait store, you know, if you go to get minnows. And so an easy rig for a minnow, you can use the exact same rigs we've been talking about, the sinkers or bobber fishing. And so what you want to do is just take your hook. Again, you want a smaller one, a 6 or an 8 size hook, and you just take it right up underneath the jaw of the minnow and go straight up through its mouth and out the top of its nose, basically. And then, you know, kind of angle the hook forward. So imagine if you cast out and you reeled in, when you're pulling that fish, you're pulling it by its nose. It's sort of like it's swimming towards you. Now, doing this, that fish is going to survive for a while. So when you cast out, it's going to be underwater swimming around. And that's what you want. You're trying to draw in a bigger fish that sees, like, hey, here's a sort of wounded fish, or at least it's not moving around. It can't go very far. And it'll scarf it up, and you can catch a bigger fish. You're not really using these for panfish, though you can catch panfish on them. They're typically got to be fairly big, though, to do that. So that can make it pretty interesting. I've primarily done really well with trout, with minnows. And I've caught some bass and stuff on them, and walleye and so forth, too. But, again, you know, I don't fish minnows a whole lot. I will usually only fish them in streams that are primarily trout, and, you know, kind of cast them out. You can finesse fish these, so you can have them cast out with no weight or sinker. Just the weight of the fish is what takes the line out, but you've got to have a pretty light setup. You maybe 4-pound test on your line, so that the weight of the minnow, which isn't a lot, is still enough to pull the line out so you can actually cast it. And then you just slowly retrieve it towards you, and you can stop and pause a little bit, let it dart around some, and that can be a really effective way to fish minnows. They do make salted minnows, or kind of like pickled minnows, or at least they're minnows that are in a jar that's like brine. Of course, they're no longer alive. Those ones, you're going to want to continually move them. So you can still bobber fish them. I don't really recommend that, because it's hard to move them. You know, you can reel the bobber in, but the fish just kind of flops around back there. It doesn't have much motion to it. But if you sinker fish it, you get some more movement down at the bottom. Or again, you can finesse fish it with no weight or bobber. But you want to keep it moving, because it's not going to move by itself, so you want to give it some motion to help attract fish. The salted minnows are the same way as the brine minnows, except they're kept dry. They're just packed in salt, which keeps them preserved. And the salt actually can be a pretty good attractant for fish. But again, you're going to want to constantly be moving that fish and stuff. So that kind of covers the live bait, or the semi not so live in the case of the minnows. So there's other types of baits we're going to talk about here. And these are what I kind of refer to as like ingredients-based baits. And so what these are is power bait, for example. A lot of you might see power bait. If you go out to the store, you know, the sporting goods store, and you're buying your rod, your reel, and so forth, you're going to see a whole selection of what's called power baits. It's a little jar, and it's got a lid on it. Berkeley is probably the biggest brand name in that type of stuff. And when you open it up, it's basically like dough or Play-Doh. And you're just going to pack that around the hook. But you want to make sure you leave the point of the hook sticking up. And so what this is rather than being something that's moving around, that's fish food, it's solid fish food. It's not alive, it's not going to move, but it still smells good to the fish, it still tastes good to the fish, so they're going to bite it and hang on to it. They're going to want to eat it, and that's how you can catch them with that. But again, it doesn't move. So sometimes it works good, sometimes not so good. If they seem like they're feeding real aggressively, they might go after it. If they're feeding really sluggish and they think like, oh, here's food that I could eat, they might go after it. But if they're kind of somewhere in the middle, sometimes they may not go after it. It's really hard to say. I've never really figured out quite the pattern for using this. This I will tell you, though. Most trout, at least in this area, that you can catch are stock trout. So they're trout that are raised at a hatchery, and then every spring, at least here, and sometimes in the fall, they'll take bucket loads of fish out and dump them in local streams and lakes and stuff. And this is what some of your license money goes towards, these kind of programs, so that there's trout there to fish. Trout like cold water. They like moving water. But they will survive in lakes and stuff. But when the waters start to warm up, they don't do so well. And so they don't reproduce well. If I'm not mistaken, I believe trout or any kind of salmonid type fish has to be in moving water when they lay their eggs and stuff. So when they reproduce naturally, it actually has to be in moving water. The eggs are laid and they kind of float downstream. I know that's the way it is with salmon. I don't know if it's actually true with trout, but I do know that primarily where you're going to find them native is going to be in streams. So in any event, enough about that part. But at the hatchery, they're basically fed sort of like dog food. It's actually fish food, but it's little nuggets and stuff like that that they'll cast out in the water, and the fish will feed on that. And it usually either floats on top of the water or it sinks a little bit and the fish scoop them up. And the power bait was originally designed to sort of replicate this so that you could fish for what the fish are used to eating. And so if you're fishing somewhere where they've stocked trout recently, or even just stocked it earlier in the year, but there's still trout in there, it can be a really effective bait. Berkeley in particular also makes a lot of other types of fake baits, but they look like worms or little bugs or anything like that, but they're still made out of materials that the fish will eat. They can smell good, they taste good, that kind of scenario, but it's shaped like a worm, so you can fish it basically like you would a worm. The difference is, of course, it's not moving. So you do want to be a little more active when you're fishing that. You can let it sit a little while, but not long, maybe a minute or two, and then just reel in, just a foot or two. It doesn't need to be much, but enough to get it moving around a little bit, then let it sit. And you'll find, at least I find anyways, but I think you will too, that most of the time, if it sits a little while, when you reel it in, when you stop again is when something hits it. And there's a lot of lures and stuff that work like that too. They fish real nice and stuff, but then when you stop and just let it pause for a minute, that's when a fish will strike. And so that can be fun and exciting, but it's just a little trick you can do in there to kind of help increase your odds of catching fish. And there's thousands, literally thousands of types of these artificial baits or ingredients-based baits that are, they're not to be confused with the plastic rubber worms and so forth. Those are sort of a whole different animal, and we're going to get into them in the next episode. But, because they are basically edible. Plastic worms and rubber baits and stuff are not edible. Once a fish starts to bite on them, they really won't go after them. So you got to be able to hook them pretty quickly when they come in to bite it, because they do make the rubber baits and plastic baits that are scented, so they may come to it for the scent, but once they bite into it, they're going to realize it's rubber, it's fake, it's not real, and so they typically won't hang on to it, but maybe a few seconds. So, and that's the time you get to set the hook. But these other types of baits, they will hang on to longer. They will try and eat them. So they can be really effective. Now, so we've talked about worms, live baits, and so forth. And I kind of wanted to talk to you a little bit about what I call the ingredients-based baits. There's also some stuff in the ingredients like catfish nuggets. You'll see like little things that are designed for panfish or crappie or things like that are just different stuff. The catfish nuggets are smelly. They're usually like a cornmeal and blood mix, So they're a little bit disgusting. They smell pretty rough, but that's what catfish like. they hook pretty well usually, and then when you cast them out, they're going to be on the bottom. Catfish don't come up to the top to feed very often. They will, but that's not if you're going to fish for catfish, that's not usually the way. So you're not going to put catfish nuggets, for example, on a bobber rig. You're going to usually want to fish them on the bottom. So that kind of covers that. Now, the last one I want to talk about, I think, will be really intriguing for, parents that want to take their kids fishing, or people that just don't really want to, in general, deal with live bait. And this is food fishing, for lack of a better term. You can use bread, cheese, corn, hot dogs even. you can pick all kinds of stuff. Two things I'll point out with this are between the bread and the cheese. So when you pick out bread that you're going to use, you want to make sure you get something that's pretty fresh. You want the bread to be nice and kind of moist so that it packs together really well and sort of sticks to itself. When you pack it really tight on the hook, again, like the power bait, you leave a little point sticking out. Cheese is going to be the same thing. So what you're looking for in cheese is like the American cheese slices that are individually wrapped. Those are usually a little bit more oily, so it sticks to itself. So again, you can pack it around a hook. Try and throw a block of cheddar on there, and it's just going to crumble and fall apart because it's pretty dry. So you want that kind of more oily or wet cheese, for lack of a better term. I know that doesn't sound very good at all, but I think you kind of get what I'm talking about. Corn, open up a can of corn, slide a few kernels on there, on the hook, just stack them up like it almost makes it look like a little yellow centipede. That can be really productive. It's usually pretty good for like carp and catfish, though I've caught a little bit of everything on corn over the years. little mini marshmallows. You can put them on there, and it's a handy snack while you're out there eating too, or while you're out there fishing. You can make a snack on a couple marshmallows. So those can work really well, especially for pan fishing stuff. So there's a lot of different things. I'm sure people are out there saying, like, you know, yelling at the radio at the moment, saying, "Hey, what about this or what about that?" There's a ton of food type baits you can use, and you know, get out there and try them. You know, the bluegills and the other panfish, they will eat almost anything. You know, take a hot dog, make little tiny cubes out of it, you know, just cut little slices off and even cut those in half and just put a little bit, rig it up on your hook. They'll go after that stuff like crazy. So, you know, there's a lot of different things you can fish with, and it's clean. You're not messing around with live bait. So it can be a really good way if you're just trying to get the kids out there and catch some fish for them, or get them to catch some fish, and you don't want to be too messy. You know, that kind of stuff for bait works really, really well. So don't knock it off. It is a little weird, I know, but you know, you can try stuff like that. So again, with bait fishing in general, worms are kind of the original gangster, you know, when it comes to bait fishing. It's what a lot of people use. Different parts of the country actually focus more on like leeches as opposed to worms. I've used those too. They work really well. They're just not readily available where I typically fish. And you know, those rig them up sort of like a mealworm. You're going to go down through the back first and then back up through the underside, so because they want to curl up, and when they curl up, they're going to curl tighter onto the hook. If you're worried, yeah, they have the little sucker mouth. Just if you reach in there, just put their sucker mouth on the back of your fingernail, and then you don't have to feel it or anything like that. But there, it sounds a lot worse than it is. There's nothing to, you don't feel them when they're on there or anything like that. So don't be frightened of leeches and stuff like that. They actually work really, really well for bait, especially for stuff like walleye in Canada. Anyways, again, they're not really available around here, you know, live, so I don't know, you know, how well they do here, but I would imagine they do pretty well. So that kind of covers the live bait and the ingredients-based bait and then food bait kind of thing. So I feel like that does pretty good, but I want to kind of leave you with one note, and that is this. When you're done fishing at the end of the day, number one, you know, like I say, pack it in, pack it out. If you've taken a can of corn with you, make sure that can is leaving with you. I would even take the corn, too, and throw it in the garbage can. You know, you don't, I know it seems all right that you can feed and, you know, ducks will come over and eat it or whatever, but you know, again, you're kind of introducing a food source they're not used to. But more importantly, the minnows and the worms. Don't just dump them out or dump them into the water when you're done. And the reason for this is they can have parasites. They can have bacteria in them. The minnows may not be native to that particular water. And, you know, you don't want to introduce different things. Now, I know you're saying, well, wait a minute. I've already had them in the water. I'm fishing with that. Yes, that's true. But you're not necessarily putting them in the concentration as you are as if you dump half a dozen night crawlers on the ground all at once, and you know they're not, you know, native to that particular area, or they've got some parasites or bacteria that end up now mixing with the other worms in the area, and you know they get some problems. There's all different kinds of things. Most of the time, it's not a big deal, but there's just no point in risking it. You know, it's simple enough to either, you know, give the bait away. If you see somebody else fishing, say, hey, you know, do you want some minnows? Do you want some worms? Do you want something else? And give them to them. Most people will take it. If not, just take it with you and throw it out when you get home, or you know, something like that. So it still works on the pack it in, pack it out mentality. If you took it with you when you're done, don't just dump it out in the ground. Take it home with you, or throw it out somewhere else that you're not introducing anything that shouldn't be to an area, you know, that you've been fishing in. So, okay, well, I think that covers us up with the bait fishing. Again, if you have any questions, certainly hit me up. You can email me at scooterfishtoes@gmail.com. That's scooterfishtoes. @gmail.com, or you can shoot me a message back here. I'm not sure if it works on all the other podcasts, but if you're on Anchor, there's a button right there that you can push to message me. And you know, I hope to hear back from you. Let me know how fishing is going for you. Hopefully you're out there catching them and doing well. And so take care until the next time we get to talk. Tight lines and good luck. Bye.